It's really difficult to read the new covenant and not understand some of the old covenant is fulfilling, because I think you're going to get doctrines that are just crazy. And that's why Christianity, we should be the most sure and solid people in the world. Why most of the time I look at them, I go, they're the most unsure, because they're mixing the covenants. Does that make sense? And so there's no mix. There's the old one went away is what it says. It was diminishing, etc., and then it finally did go away, and I'll show you that. So anyway, this whole thing should be, this old covenant was based on man's effort, etc., and faith is the reality that all those promises, all those types and shadows, all those prophecies, was there's going to be a day where Jesus is going to establish his messianic kingdom, and now those promises that they were hoping for, waiting for, are going to be reality. That's why Hebrews says, you know what, they are types, shadows. Jesus was the fulfillment, so now those all types and shadows are the title deed. You have them. Does that make sense to you? So the new covenant should make you sure. That's why this is called that, and that's why I love Doug sent me this thing. He said, I looked up what synonyms for assurance, and maybe I still have it. I should read this to you. This is what the new covenant is supposed to be for you. If I can find it real quick, I'll do it. That was so good what he sent me. That inspires me, too, when I hear you guys. I'm like, God, yes, you're getting it, because that's the whole idea to me is I'm not doing this for my health. I'm healthy. Amen. So I search synonyms for assuredly. And go look it up in the Gospels. It says, most assuredly. You can be sure. You can do all these things. Assuredly. Absolutely, certainly, definitely, undoubtedly, positively, of course, unquestionably, without fail, really getting connected to this idea that when Jesus says it's going to happen, I don't have to know how it happens, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? That's how sure we're supposed to be in the new covenant. So here's, was I talking to you, Arnold, beforehand? I go, here's what I, no, I was talking to Matt Doyle. Here's how I do it, because guys, just turn on the TV for about 3 hours and you'll be so mixed up. You just will. Turn on Christian television for 3 hours and you'll be a mess. And I love all these people. I'm not saying, I'm just saying there's so many messages that convolute it except for one thing. You can be sure of this new thing. Amen? And so here's what I do, guys. When I start getting unsure, I know I've touched the law somewhere. Does that make sense? Is I go, wait a minute. If it's no longer assurance that I already have it, then I missed something. And when I start getting nervous listening to guys is when I just stop. I go, I got to stop for a while because I was sure until I listened to you. And every message should be about your assurance. Does that make sense? And I'm not criticizing that because I'm sure I've done plenty of it. So if I've ever given you a message that makes you unsure, then scrap that because it's supposed to be sure of a better covenant and better promises. Does that make sense to you guys? So the new covenant, that's why I think people that haven't grown up in church, etc., they get the good news, and they're like, how does their life just, they're prospering, things are happening, and wait a minute, I've been so good for so long, Lord, how come these people just come in off the street, and they're kicking my rear end? Because they just believe it's good news, amen? So, the bottom line is this, is you can never lose your favor, blessing, healing from the Lord, ever, because the blood was shed once and for all, that covenant is yours, but it's a spiritual reality that you... What has to change is what you believe in your heart. Does that make sense? You're no longer fighting this. People are fighting demons and all this stuff. Are they reality? Of course they are. But are they already defeated? Yes. It's belief systems that are causing this. If you believe this kind of stuff will happen, you have to fight this thing and this principality instead of just, no, I'm already rock solid in this deal. This is who I am. Then it's not going to be reality in your life. And so I just want you to be that secure in everything. Does that make sense? So, all right, so let's go through this. I'm going to unravel Mark 11, 23, 24, 25 for you a little bit because it's not what you've been taught, most of you guys. Now, if you're one of the few that have been taught correctly, praise God, man, because you won't get it. So what the whole thing I'm trying to show you is, I did it a little bit at communion, the Jews were certain in this old covenant. If they could bring a lamb and the blood was accepted, guess what? They were spotless and sinless till their next sin or the whole nation of Israel till the next year. But anytime you sin, here's what they knew. That means this covenant relationship is broken. And so all I have to do, though, is bring a lamb that was innocent, and God will accept that. He said, listen, I'm going to create this law system that you really want. You really, guys, you sure you want this? Because you're not going to be able to do it. And that's what all the parables and the Proverbs and everything go, hey, if you're going to go build a tower, they were trying to reach God like Babel. He goes, consider the cost, because when you realize you can't do it, you're going to be ashamed. But I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to give you an escape route. I'm going to give you a lamb. And I'll accept the substitute that I won't punish you. I'll just bless you, favor you, heal you, prosper you, everything. And the Jews understood that old covenant. They were solid. Now, that was a type and shadow of the real one. So as long as we know that Jesus, his blood was accepted Faith is the new covenant. I believe that Jesus did it for me. It's not my level. It's just a reality. That's what I'm trying to get across to you guys. Does that make sense? Because if I have to build faith, then I'm a mess. Because how many guys have tried to build it, and you're like, I just can't do it. You want to punt on third and just go, let's come back next week and try this thing. Does that make sense? So every message should be, no, it's okay. You got this thing. He's got you. Follow me? Does that help? All right. Hopefully I'm laying the ground. So what I want you to be sure of is this covenant is unbreakable. He's my covenant partner, and I'm solid in it. Follow me? The old covenant was type and shadows. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts were all these things that he's fulfilling all this. Unless we understand that, we're going to read things into it that aren't there. That's why I think most of the teaching I got on the parables, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when I was understanding that, hey, it's this old covenant, this old covenant system's going away, it's fading away, and the reality is Jesus is coming on the scene with a new and better covenant, and he's showing the Jews, because they were the only ones in covenant at this time, this is everything you've been prophesying about. These are all the types and shadows. Now I'm here. And you should be excited about this. They go, no, we'd rather keep our old covenant system. Right? So I'm just trying to show you that. All right, let's go through this. So my deal's not working, Jeffrey. So there we go. Hebrews 8:1, I covered this. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Why are there, I gave you the hint already in communion, why is it better promises? Because it's no longer if then. In Deuteronomy, go look at the old covenant promises. If you do this, if you don't go after other gods, if you don't become the harlot, if you don't break my covenant, if you don't this, then I'll bless you. Amen? What's happened in the new covenant? 2 Corinthians 1:19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no. It's not if then, yes and maybe, right? It's not yes and no. But how many guys, be honest here, how many guys have heard this, you just never know? That's worse, isn't it? That's worse than yes and no, maybe. So Lord, if I do this right, and if I beg you long enough, if I'm the widow at the courtroom just pleading long enough, he'll finally do it. All those are taken out of context. Then he'll finally relent and go, I guess so. And that's not what it says, amen? He goes, that's the old covenant nonsense, right? All my promises are yes and no. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, so be it, amen. Assuredly is how the new covenant says amen. Assuredly, you can be sure of this thing. So, when we understand that, it's not longer how good we are, it's assurance of a better covenant because Jesus did it all. You guys get this? That's why Christianity should be the coolest thing in the world and we just mess it up. We make it a religious thing about our behavior again. And he goes, that promise is no longer based on your behavior. Right? It's yes. How sure can you be? As sure as you can be. That's what he's trying to show you in this whole thing. Does that make sense? So I like to go back into these old covenant promises. Like I like to go to Deuteronomy 28 and get rid of the if then, right? And if you go to Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 on, it says, if you don't, all these curses are going to come upon you. How many guys have read it? It says, he became a curse for us so that those no longer apply. It's only the promises now that apply. Isn't that exciting? So but we still got people running around talking about generational curses, and this curse, and that curse, and you came under this, and this was a doorway to that, and this jumped off on you because you listened to rock music, and you're no longer sure. Does that make sense? And I get it. They have good hearts, etc. They're mixing the covenants, though. You can be so sure of this thing. Follow me? That's why it's amazing. So, all right. You guys get that, right? Why? This is going to show God's glory through us if we actually understand this. Cool? So I like to do Deuteronomy 28 and go, this promise is now yes. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed when I go out. Hallelujah. So when you're going to work, you're going to your job, you're driving down I-25, even if you tell people you got your Christian sticker on and you tell them they're going somewhere where, you know, here's what you renew your mind to. Is, you know what? I am blessed coming in. I'm blessed coming out. Hallelujah. As whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. That is a reality to you. That is a reality. And the secular world gets it. That's what Arnold was saying. And they're kicking our rear and I'm tired of it. I go, if anybody should be succeeding in life, it's the believer who has a covenant partner who's God, right? I'm going to be your, this was the promise to Abraham. I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my guy. And the whole world's going to see how powerful that is when we're in covenant together. Right? How will I know? Bring me the three-year-old heifer. The same promise was, so we can remember now, hey, the three-year-old heifer, Jesus, he was struck down 3 years into his ministry, right? He was the real lamb. He was the real ox. Lord, I bring you Jesus, and here's what we're going to do together. You're my covenant partner, and this is what it's going to be from now on. Amen? And you're sitting there begging God to do something. He goes, I did it. Just cooperate with me. God's not the limiting factor. Just believe right. Follow me? Not believe enough. Believe the right thing is all he wants you to do. You guys get it? Laura, who's that lady, the 21 days, her brain and everything? What's that thing called again? Karen Leaf. Go watch. It's powerful. See, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He goes, listen, if you believe the right thing for 21 days, it actually forms all these neurons and everything in your brain. That becomes a reality to you now. And I get frustrated because people are battling demons for 30 days rather than changing what they put in their heart for 30 days. And I see them 5 years later, and they're still battling the same demon. Like, what are you doing? He's under your feet. Amen? But they don't know he's under his feet, so they're still battling this principality over their house and casting things out. I'm like, he's cast out. Right? They go, hey, you know, I've sensed something here. Then you brought it because it's not here. Follow me? That's how sure we should be of this thing. You guys get it? All right. If I'm stepping on toes, good, because I want you to, it's sometimes somebody's got to rattle you a little bit going, this is the reality of the new covenant. Follow me? Okay, so every promise is yes and amen. We can go home now. That really, if you get that, that's beautiful. All right? Now let's go dig into this old covenant thing, though. I don't even know why I put this here. I'm just trying to show you this new reality. When we go into Mark 11, this new reality is, hey, it's not about your behavior anymore. You're in a covenant relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? The maker of the universe, the most wealthy people in the universe, the protectors of the universe, is my covenant partner. If I'm in covenant partner, all I have to do is ask. And that should make me joyful. See, it's not on if I do these things anymore. It's a new reality that I'm in covenant with the Father again, and I have everything he's got. You guys get that? And so the simplest thing in the world should be, I don't care if you're going through a trial or tribulation, go, God is for me. That should settle you down. You guys understand that? God's for me. So no situation, nothing, no weapon, nothing can be against me. No principality, nothing. Because the King of the universe is for me. Lord, I bring you to remembrance. Jesus did this thing. Now get to work. That's a rest for me. Does that make sense? I can go out with confidence then. You guys get it? And what if you mess up? Renew your mind again to that truth. Follow me? Don't spend another day there. You guys get it? You create your own reality. We're so fearfully and wonderfully made. If you're dwelling on the same nonsense over and over and over, you just get this heavy spirit. And after a while, I'm like, I love you, but you're wearing me out. Because it's just weird to me that you're still doing all this stuff that's already been done. You guys get it? Okay. All right. So that's the only reason I have those slides there. All right. Understanding Mark 11. So the old covenant contains types and shadows. I'm going to show you Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and even Revelation. It's really John's final Olivet Discourse. It's fascinating. It's showing people the reality of all these things that were predicted. These prophecies are going to happen. Follow me? So types and shadows. Jesus is the new and better covenant. He's being unveiled in the new covenant. The old covenant is diminishing, fading. That's what I'm saying. If you see things that are going to be chopped off, fading, burned up in the fire, it's this old covenant system. You guys get it? This whole book is about an old one and a new one. And if you can get that, you'll start to interpret this whole scripture more easily. So, but if you get messed up, this is what I do. I go, Lord, because I read and listen and study and all these guys, and I can tell when I start getting anxious, okay, I'm touching the wrong thing here, that I just go, wait a minute. Bottom line is, the Lamb was accepted, so I'm perfect in every way, and he's going to provide for me, heal me, protect me, prosper me. Everything I put my hand to shall prosper. Hallelujah, I'm in good shape. If I don't know anything else, I go right back to that. So if you can understand the Lamb, you understand this whole thing. You guys get it? Okay, so let's go into Zechariah 4:6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is a really interesting thing. Zechariah is a prophet, is he not? Zerubbabel is a king. And some of you guys know the history. I don't want to spend a lot of time here. But Zechariah prophesied that Zerubbabel and Joshua, a king, and Joshua was a priest, are going to get the Jews back out of captivity, out of Babylon, and restore a physical temple. That is a type and shadow of what? Jesus is the prophet, king, and the priest that's going to establish the real temple, the spiritual one. Follow me? So when we see, this should give you some clues already. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you're reading it, when you start looking at some of the things and go, wait a minute, let's go look at the type and shadow, because Jesus is the reality of what this was trying to show. Follow me? Zerubbabel is a really interesting name. It means scatter the babble, scatter the mixture. So Jesus was going to scatter that mixture. Isn't that interesting? So Zechariah is the prophet, Zerubbabel is the king. Here's what's interesting, he never sat on the earthly throne. The real Jesus, did he ever sit on the earthly throne? He says, no, he's come to the new Jerusalem, the real one, the heavenly Jerusalem, and he's seated on the throne. So, if we try to take these Old Testament things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to just interpret them wrong most of the time, and you're going to get weird doctrines. So, all right. So, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Meaning, this new kingdom is not going to be by your effort. It's not going to be by your power. It's going to be a spiritual thing. You guys get it? Thoughts, beliefs, things in our heart are spiritual, are they not? He goes, this is all going to become a reality to you based on what you believe. That's what he's showing here. It's not by power, but by might. Follow me? I see people trying to anoint people. No, those people trying to do all that don't know what the truth is. It's not going to be, it's going to be a spiritual thing. Verse 7, who are you, O great mountain? I'm going to explain this to you. Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. So a mountain in the Old Covenant, mountains were Old Covenant's kingdom systems. And I know the Talmud, and here's what most of the Word of Faith is going to teach you. Most faith teaching is this, mountain-moving faith. Right? How many guys have ever moved a mountain by speaking to it? Which Word of Faith pastor have you ever seen move a mountain by speaking to it? But Scripture says, maybe it's the next verse that says that, it says, this is surely going to happen. No, Jesus says that in Mark 11. That's what I'm getting ahead of myself. So it happened, but it was a spiritual reality. This is what I want you to get. So, who are you, O great mountain? Come on, before this scatterer of Babel comes, you're going to become a plain. You're going to be nothing anymore. That's what he's trying to say. Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace. The capstone is not the foundation stone. The capstone is the finishing stone. So he's going to finish this temple, and afterwards he's going to go, it's not by power or might, he's going to go, it's by grace. What is that? An old covenant's going away, the new covenant's going to be by grace. By faith, therefore, by faith, we understand it's grace. By faith, meaning, I believe that Jesus did it for me, and it's all for me, and I did nothing to do with it, I just have to accept it. It's by his spirit. That's what, you guys get this? Does this help you at all? All right, let's go a little bit further. 14:4, and in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Put that in the back of your mind. Because this is a type and shadow, the reality is going to happen. Somebody's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and this mountain's going to go away. This mountain of power and works is going to go away, and it's going to be replaced with grace. You guys get this? Okay. And that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. If a big hill was there, and now it's a valley, what does it look like? It's going to become a plain. Right? If the north is going to separate from the south and the east is going to separate from the west, what are you going to see? That mountain split, it's all gone, and it went into the sea. What's it going to look like? A plain. Isn't that what we just read? Hey, before this guy who's going to come on the scene, he's going to scatter the mixture. He's going to scatter Babel, which is mixture. That's what Zerubbabel means, which is a picture of Christ, right? He's going to scatter this old mountain, this old covenant, this old religious system, and it's going to be dispersed into the sea. The sea were the Gentile nations. There was nothing solid to stand on. So if they didn't have a solid ground to stand on, they fell under the water, which was always a picture of judgment. Does that make sense? That's why Peter says when he looked at himself, what happened? He sunk. There's no solid ground. What did Jesus do? I'll make you walk on it. Above it is what he's trying to say. So guys, don't go, I have faith like Peter, and I'm going to walk on the water. We're going to send an ambulance for you. You're going to drown. Because that's not what he's talking about there. Does that make sense? It's just, I get this goofy stuff. So, anyway, and in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. It's going to split. It's going to make a large valley. Half the mountain shall move to the north, and half of it toward the south. Half is going to go east, half is going to go west, is what it says. So this mountain, this kingdom system, is going to be dispersed into the sea, and it's going to make a plain. Does this sound like Mark 11 at all? Yeah, it does, right? This was the shadow. Now let's go see the fulfillment of this thing. Mark 11, verse 1. I just want to get you that verse 1. Some of you guys got your Bible, just go to verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, where? At the Mount of Olives. He's just fulfilling what we said he was going to fulfill. Zechariah prophesied that there's going to be a guy going to come on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to make this old mountain go away, and it's going to become a plain, and now he's just going to say it's all by grace. You guys get this? This is not as difficult as your Bible school taught you. It's really not. So, I'm going to skip down to 20. You can read it yourself. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. I showed you that last week. You can go back to Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned, they said, we're going to make a covering for ourselves. We are going to make a covering for ourselves. And what did they cover themselves with? Fig trees. That's by power and might. I'm going to do something. Follow me? And what did God do? See, these are types and shadows. The whole thing's about an old one and a new one. An old one that has faults and a better one. God says, that's not going to cut it. I'm going to put skins of animals on you. Well, to get a skin off an animal, what did he have to do to the animal? He had to sacrifice it, kill it. Does that make sense? So God goes, those fig leaves aren't going to cover you. Your effort's not going to cover you. I'm going to have a sacrifice that will cover you. It's the first blood sacrifice in the Bible. It's like old and the new one. Follow me? So fig trees was always self-righteousness, which actually became a... See, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, can it produce fruit? No, it can only produce works. The Spirit produces fruit. He goes, I'm the vine, you're the branches, you can't do anything. You just got to sit there and believe the right thing and I'll produce the fruit in your life. You can't, that's why he's cursing the fig tree. Because I'm going to curse this old tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this old self-effort system. That's what Adam and Eve said. Hey, we're going to make coverings for ourselves. We're going to, by our own works, we're going to cover our sin. Is what he's trying to say. Right? God goes, that's not going to work. I got a better deal. I'm going to sacrifice something as if you never happened. You'll be clothed with righteousness again. And I'm going to preserve a way to the garden. He puts the mercy seat right there. I'm going to preserve a way access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Someday you'll be able to eat from it again once I get rid of sin. Once sin, this whole sin thing is over. That's why Jesus on the cross said, it's finished, it's over. I was the true lamb. My blood was sacrificed. You're perfect forever. You're righteous. You're in covenant with me. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what the whole Bible's about. Amen? So what, guys, what you can do, all these scriptures say, listen, if you believe that, nothing's impossible to you. He's going, I've given you the ability to do whatever you decide you want to do. And I'll be there and go, right on, let's do it together. But let's see if this is your will, Lord. I want to punt those guys. Come on, his will is like, I've given you ability. What do you want to do? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You can create. Nothing's impossible to you. Amen? The sin program's over. You're in covenant with me. You're in fellowship with me. I'm going to put ideas and things in your heart that you want to go and accomplish, and I'll go, I'll help you do it. Follow me? That's the new covenant. You guys get it? All right. So verse 20, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Anything drying, fading, going away is a picture of what? The old covenant. That's why John the Baptist says, listen, I'm diminishing, he's increasing. You guys get this? So anytime you see something fading, going, diminishing, old covenant's going away. New covenant's coming on the scene. So, why did Jesus curse the... He came and looked at the fig tree. There was no fruit. You can't eat from the knowledge of good and evil. You can't produce fruit by trying to be good. You're going to get worse, and you're going to be an antagonistic, angry old Christian. Ticked off at the person that just accepts it freely and kicks butt. All right, is that true? I'm serious. That's true, isn't it? So they'll become judgmental. They'll become the church lady like I talked about. Heavens. Get off the high horse, man, right? You don't want me to dig around in your life. It's not going to look pretty. I'm serious. You're supposed to have no more consciousness of that self-effort. You're supposed to go, thank God he did it all for me and I am perfect now. And he sees me as the spotless bride, amen? The old covenant, the harlot, is gone away. He's replaced it with the new bride, us. Follow me? All right, so Peter remembered, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. I'm going to curse that old system. Never eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil ever again because it can't produce fruit. Looks good, you look good, but deep down you're a whitewashed tomb and you can't produce fruit is what Jesus kept saying to the self-righteous. Follow me? So the Christians, they come in, man, I look good, I feel good, listen to everything I've done. You know what? They're eating themselves alive inside. And our message to them is, you're perfect and righteous, man. There's nothing you can do to ever move the favor of God in your life. That's why the promises are sure and they're better, because I can't mess them up. Now, you can believe the wrong thing and not experience it. You guys get it? So what am I trying to do is just believe the right thing. Believe God's with you, despite you. That's what's so amazing. Look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So Jesus answered to them, old covenant's going away. There's a new covenant that's by faith. Guys, that thing's going away. Have faith in God. And here's how it's taught. If you have enough faith, you'll be able to curse the fig tree and it'll wither away. He's not saying that. He's saying the old system of self-effort is gone. The new system of simply believe I did it is in place. Amen. Now you're in covenant with me. Isn't that what you're taught? If I had enough faith, you'll be talking to your tree all day. Amen? And you secretly go out there and put poison on it. Say, look at honey, I made this tree go away. Right? You get this. It's old and new. The new one's by faith. Praise? Now, faith is the title deed. Those were types and shadows. Faith is the title deed. So he's going, that old system's withering away. Have faith in God. You guys get this so far? Okay, let's keep going. All right. Verse 23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, where is he standing? On the Mount of Olives. Isn't that what it said in Zechariah? Hey, someday this guy, the guy who's going to scatter mixture, is going to stand on the Mount of Olives. He's going to say to this mountain, become a plain, be removed. He's fulfilling the old covenant, is what I'm trying to show you. But we think we have mountain-moving faith. And guess what? You always doubt yourself. I wonder if I have enough. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, listen, I say to you, for assuredly, so certainly, most assured, all those things that Doug sent me, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, old covenant system, right? Here's what they looked at. These mountains, you can get some hints at this. Remember Jesus is talking to the woman in Samaria, and she asks him, hey, the Jews say we're supposed to worship on that mountain, and we say we're supposed to worship on Mount Gerizim in Samaria. What's the truth? What does Jesus say? You're not going to worship on any mountain. You're going to worship in spirit and truth. See, they looked at those things. They looked at high places, towers, mountains. I can get close to God by doing this. He goes, that's not going to be reality. That old system is going to become a plane before me, Zerubbabel. I'm going to scatter that mixture and make it go away. Follow me? All right. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. See with the Gentile nations. They're going to be dispersed in the Gentile nations. There's no ground to stand on. There's no assurance. There's no covenant to them. They were outside the temple system. You guys get that? They looked at their temple system as a picture of the world. So they looked at a physical heaven and earth, which we see. And then they also said, you know what? There's a heaven where God is. That was the holy place. There was the earth where only the Jews could stand. There was ground. That was the holy place and the inner court. The outer courts were the sea where they were not in covenant. So the seas where they're not in covenant, there's nothing to stand on. I have nothing. If I'm cast out in the sea, I'm going to be judged, because I'm going to fall under the judgment of the water. That's why in Revelation it says, this new one, there's no sea. Why is there no sea? Because everybody is welcome, not just the newest nation. The Gentile nations are, there's no sea. There's nothing. It's all solid ground now. The sea has become like glass. It's solid. Isn't that cool? But we're still looking for the things to burn up and a meteor to hit us. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have that. Hey, the old covenant system is going to go away, and I believe that. Therefore, because of that reality, verse 24, because of that reality, what's going to happen? Therefore, because the old covenant system went away and was dispersed into the sea, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, that's a hetio, whatever you require, prosigke, so, hey, the things that I need, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you got him. Why? Because he's in covenant. He can't break his covenant. Covenant partners are equals. He's got it all. If we need anything, we can simply ask him for it. That old covenant system, that old mountain system is going to be dispersed and cast into the sea. You guys get this? He's just fulfilling Zechariah. There's going to be a guy. He's going to stand on Mount of Olives. His name is Zerubbabel. So Zechariah is the prophet. He's prophesying that these things are going to happen. Zerubbabel was the king. He was in the lineage of the tribe of Judah, the king. And Joshua, who's going to establish this physical temple, which is obviously a picture of Jesus, that he was a priest. So it's prophesying that there's going to be a king priest that's going to scatter this mountain, and he's going to make a way where all we have to do is ask. It's by grace where you receive it. Therefore, it's by faith, it's by grace. This old mountain's going to go away, and all you're going to do now is go, grace, grace, man. In fact, I would encourage you to go, hyper grace, hyper grace. Irritate the religious guys, right? If it's not hyper, it's not grace. Because that means you had to do something to it. It's got to be hyper. Follow me? I'm telling you, that little bit of leaven mixes up the whole thing. If they teach something other than grace, it mixes the whole thing. You're no longer sure, are you? Yeah, it's supposed to be sure. Assuredly, I say to you, this is what's going to happen. You guys get it? If you believe that old system's going away, so he's telling these people, what did Jesus tell his disciples to pray? Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I want this old kingdom system and mountain to be gone. I want a new kingdom and mountain to take its place. You guys get it? Now, Jesus says, assuredly, if you say this mountain's going to be removed, it will be removed and cast into the sea. So if Jesus says something assuredly is going to happen, how did it happen? Did you do it? Did you ever make a mountain go into the sea? They must be talking about something else. Right? Have you ever seen the king of word of faith preachers ever make a mountain go into the sea? Despite all of them. Because they're missing the point. Jesus was fulfilling. He's getting rid of the old mountain, that covenant system, making that a plain. And it's just going to be grace now. Anybody can come in. You guys get this? And because of that, therefore, because that happened, I say to you, whatever things you ask, what you require when you pray, believe that you receive them and you got them. Why? Because he can't deny himself. He's a covenant partner. He'd have to die before he doesn't do it. Now, you put barriers there. You go, if I have enough of this, or if I'm good enough today, Lord. Right? If I balance something, I promise you, you're unsure. Or you're boasting in your unbalance. Amen? Because you can't be sure anymore. You know what it'll do? It'll create offspring that are a mess if you don't give them assurance. Anyway, I say to you, whatever things you ask, you pray, believe that you receive them. So Jesus says this is going to happen. Let's go to Revelation and see if it actually happened. All right? Revelation 8:3, we are told the prayers of the saints ascended to God. Revelation 8:8, in the sea, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. It happened. That old covenant system, literally in AD 70, burned up and was dispersed into the Gentile nations. So what's the reality today, guys? Old mountain's gone. Old covenant's gone. New mountain he goes, I'm going to replace it with a different mountain. In Hebrews, it says, we've come to which mountain? Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. It says, you've already come. You've come to it. Which speaks of, it's got better blood than that of Abel. Abel was justice and revenge. This blood is, I'm righteous and holy and blessed. Amen? You guys get this? It says, you've come. I've replaced a physical mountain. That old system's gone. I've replaced it with Mount Zion, the spiritual mountain. So the type and shadow was Zechariah the prophet, Zerubbabel the king, Joshua the priest. The reality, they're going to take their people out of bondage of Babylon and create a physical temple. Follow me? But they never sat on it, which is really interesting. So the reality of this is Jesus, who was the true prophet, king, and priest, created Mount Zion and made that old system a plain. It was dispersed into the Gentile nations. Now everything is just the simple system. Ask, you shall receive. Does that help you guys? So you can stop speaking at your tree. Now, if things come out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I get it. You know, things like, man, this is what's going to happen in my life. I'm going to prosper. This is everything I put my hand to is going to prosper. That's just coming out of an abundance of my heart. Let me share something with you. No amount of speaking without anything here is going to change one iota. If you believe in your heart, believe what? This truth that I'm in covenant. So I'm just trying to show you're in covenant with the King of Kings. You can speak all day. You can pray. This is how you pray. You got to force everything. Go, Jesus, because that works. No, it doesn't. You believe that works, and so it works. That's what's interesting. We're so fearfully and wonderfully made, amen? Some of the most powerful dudes in the world go, just relax. And you just go, oh, thank you, Father, man. Because they're solid in their covenant. Does that make sense? I'm just trying to show you how good you got it, guys. Right? Any guys Michigan fans? That's what Harbaugh says. Who's got it better than us, boys? Does that make sense? Nobody's got it better than us. I love sports analogies. Some of you guys are good. So, anyway, hey, that old mountain system actually did burn up with fire and was cast into the Gentile nations. And a new temple came on the scene, Mount Zion, where it's by grace, grace, all we have to do is ask. Hallelujah. You guys good? All right. So the old mountain covenant system was removed. The new covenant mountain, Mount Zion, was instituted with better promises. Do you not see that now that I'm showing you that? And Zechariah says, hey, before Zerubbabel, this mountain, this old covenant system, it's going to become a plain and be cast into the sea. And he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives and say it. Then we get to here and go, I think it's this. Like, no, you're going to come up with a weird doctrine. People are going to talk in that stuff with no belief in here. Right? And I've had pastors say this to me. Remember, it goes, see, it doesn't work. You can stand in your garage and say, I'm a car. Well, you're an idiot. You never thought you're going to be a car. What are you talking about? Does that make sense? But when I've convinced myself that whatever I put my hand to shall prosper because the word says it, and there's something in my heart, man, I say it. Does that make sense? I wake up and go, man, this is who I am today. This is the reality. He takes all my issues. Lord, I'm going to cast my care to you and just be pumped up. Why? Because he's my caretaker. Cast it to me. Let me take care of this thing. That's a truth. Amen? And yet a lot of guys are speaking, talking. There's no rest there. I'm speaking to my mountain because that's how most of it's taught. Speak to the challenges in your life. Some of you guys have been speaking for 20, 30 years. Still there because you're missing the truth about that thing. It's not your challenge. It's that old covenant system. Now everything's reality to me. I own it. So I can boldly say that with a belief in my heart. This is who I am, Lord. Does that make sense? The world calls it self-confidence, assurance, and we go, we can never be sure. Come to church and you'll get unsure, I promise you. Except here, hopefully. You guys getting more sure? Okay. All right. So that mountain did get cast into the sea. It burned up, and now there's a new reality. We shout grace, grace. So the promises are no longer, if you obey, you will be blessed. There's new and better promises. You can be sure, is what Hebrews said. What's the reality now? They're yes. Amen? You can stand on your feet. You guys get that? Does that help? All right. So what do we do? How do we make this a reality? What's practical? What do we do with this thing? You renew your mind to that truth. That I don't care what's going on in your life. If you need physical healing, go, man, I am healed. I'm not begging God to heal me. I'm healed. This is who I am. And it starts with this, guys, is most of you guys, You're gonna struggle getting healed if you don't realize you're completely spotless and sinless. There's got to be a rest for your conscience that I'm okay. It's not my lack of faith. It's not anything. Amen? There's nothing I can do. So I need to cast that to him. Follow me? There's a rest from your conscience. That's what Carolyn Leaf says too. Is if you can get your conscience rested, your body will start healing. Right? When you start worrying about, if I put this in my body, then this is going to happen, you'll be healed of that. That's why people go, I'm allergic to stuff. I go, I'm not condemning you. Just hang around me. You won't be anymore. Because I'm going to get that truth in you somehow. Right? If I could be a farm kid, man, and stuff on our hands, Sulan, I won't say the words, but, right? Did you, what's that stuff? Hand sanitizer? If you told your dad, Dad, wait a minute, before I eat, I need some hand sanitizer. What have you done to you? And we were the healthiest people on the planet, right? And then here's the next one. Well, that's because you're active. You didn't see my relatives. They were Dutch. They were out to here. And they smoked Camel Straights, and they ate everything, and they lived till they were 90. You know why? Because they go, that's Babel. The new covenant is, I'm healthy. Hallelujah. That's a reality, guys. Christians, well, does that, they start reading the label. I go, come here, let me slap you like your dad, right? There's nothing in there that can hurt you is what it says, amen? No, well, you know this and this and they're this. And no, you believe that which is becoming a reality in your life. Paul said you can eat stuff sacrificed to idols. Just go, thank you, Lord, this is good for me, amen, eat it, right? Got the curse of the whatever on it. Woo, it's good for me, let me eat it thing. I'm just trying, this may be shocking to you, but that is a new covenant reality. Follow me? There's no hormone-induced nothing. The Olympics are starting to irritate me. By 2090, we're going to get rid of hormone-induced this. Like, what? I'm dead. What are we talking about? Eat it. There's a new reality in town. Follow me? And honestly, when you can get that sure, you just nothing. We are so free, but you don't know it. Follow me? How many diet books you see in church versus just eat, man? The table's prepared for you. No, you got to do this fast and this diet and this planet thing. And what's that stupid thing that guy told me? Oh, we were in California. We were speaking in Smash Burger. No, is that what it was called? Squeeze Burger. They put this burger and they put cheese in and they squeeze it and the cheese drips out of that. I go, cheeseburger and a malt. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Right?
With bacon.
I don't like bacon on my burgers, but if you want it, let's go for it. Just because preference, bro. It's not going to hurt me. I'm being silly, but I'm trying to be real to you guys. How powerful our new covenant is. Follow me? Because some of you guys got gut issues and stuff. I go, get over it. It's over. It's over, guys. You're so healed. You're so healthy. Amen? And so this guy goes, no, I'm on the paleo diet. I go, I'm like, I got an issue with you. Let's go read our Bible. I said, I'm going to show you what my Bible says, what I believe, and then you show me where your diet is. So the kingdom is not in meat and drink. It's not that. It's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I believe the right thing, and that's why I have it. You guys get me? I don't know why I'm covering this. It's probably some of you guys that you're dealing with health issues, and the doctor gave you this, and you're on this. Stay on it. I'm not telling you to get off your drug medicine or anything like that. Not try. If you had enough faith, this would happen. No, if you believed the right thing, that would start going away. Does that make sense to you guys? And then you can just be peaceful about it. Stay on your medicine, but you know what? You'll go to the doctor one day, and they'll go, man, you don't need this anymore. Somebody just told me that. Les, you just told me that. Somebody just told me. They went and they were like, yeah, man, I was on this thing. And then I finally got there because I started believing the gospel. I started believing the right thing. And they go, you don't need to take this anymore. That's exciting to me because that's how powerful you are. Amen? So I want all of you to be just like the old covenant. We said, you know what? When I was 40, now I'm 85. I'm still the same. Amen? Isn't that good news? So we said, we're going to live to 120 and we're going to die healthy and eating burgers, man. Squeeze burger, whatever that thing's called. Because we're so free. You get it? So it's got to start where you're completely righteous, you're completely holy. I'm going to get emails out the wazoo, I know, on this one. And just ask yourself, is what I'm saying, if I do this, if I eat this, if I then this, or is it yes and amen? It's yes and amen. I'm probably the first guy's ever told you that. Right? And it is yes and amen. What does it say? I healed everything. It's okay. Don't try having enough faith. Relax and let me do it for once. Follow me? I'm not saying there. If you're sick, of course we're going to pray for you. Does that make sense? And we just believe it's not because of our faith and we didn't pray and fast and anoint ourselves and do all these rituals. We just know that this is reality now in Christ and you can lay hands. You can lay hands on yourself and pray. And he's a covenant partner. He'll do it. Follow me? Does that help you guys? So get rid of your sin. That's the first thing you did. Hey, you know what? The blood of the Lamb's been shed. I'm completely righteous, perfect, holy. Stop beating yourself up is another way to say it. You're better than you think you are. I remember Chris Obeda, his friend came, and he goes, man, God was just showing me that I don't have to be perfect. Hallelujah. Because you can't. You'll wear yourself out trying to be perfect. He sanctified you. He did it. Amen? And you know what? When you get that reality, you'll start to live a sanctified life. You'll start to live set apart. It's fascinating. Okay? So, but every promise is yes and amen, guys. The old covenant system where you have to perform is over. It's been cast into the sea. Now this new one is just by grace, grace. You can just ask for it. So whatever that is, just relax. Don't try to have enough. Get the reality that I have the title deed. Follow me? So Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. If there's any gut issues, health issues, then for some reason you had me talk about that. They're healed right now in Jesus' magnificent name. Any allergies, anything gone right now in Jesus' magnificent name. Every promise is yes. The old if-then is over. It's yes today. In Jesus' magnificent name. Father, we just thank you for supernatural things in their business, supernatural things in their professions. Just happen. Make all grace abound to these people this week. In Jesus' magnificent name. Father, miraculously restore families. Supernaturally eliminate debts in people's lives. That's who you are. You're our Jubilee. We just thank you for that. And we just say, grace, grace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' magnificent name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You're released. Guys, if you need to pray, we'll do it for you.